Press start.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the DT Podcast, where three friends are demanded by their local government office to perform a series of operations to undermine a rival agency come together to host a podcast about all the things. As always, I'm your insert main character here, Zach, and joining with me are the car and speed enthusiasts,
Zach,
and the erratic Canadian kingpin,
Steven. Why I gotta be Canadian?
Well, you're a kingpin.
But why I gotta be Canadian?
Because I wanted you to be Canadian.
Don't fool him that he's actually
a Canadian
Trevor.
Kingpin means nothing.
You're in charge of all the maple.
That's like saying you're a Canadian assassin.
Oi.
Oh, wait. 11 losers started this week.
And I'm pretty sure that I figured out enough of the clues.
Can't wait for all the murders to happen.
So, for those of you guys who don't know, I think we've talked a bit about it before, but 11 Little Roosters is a production by Rooster Teeth Productions about the international assassin organizations, but there's a mole who is slowly killing one of them off.
They broke the cock ring of trust.
Cock ring of trust.
God.
So and the leader is the big cock.
Who are we? A large rooster.
Because they are the 11 little roosters, so everything has to be a dick joke.
Now they're the 10 little roosters. No one wants to see that.
Because
callback.
It's like a jacket inside jokes in everywhere.
There's so many innuendos in that show that are so great.
Yeah. What else has amazing innuendos is GTA 5. I'm finally playing the story mode after owning the game for over a year.
The game's been out for six years?
They're innuendos. They're kind of straight to the point.
Well,
They don't tiptoe around the subject.
Cunning stunts? What's that supposed to be? I'm not going to say it on
N-word. On a recorded program.
N-word.
Yeah, I love it when I play. I just say N-word every time they drop
fucking
it.
Fucking Lamar shows up.
And it's like, N-word. You N-word.
Well, like, you're playing as Franklin, aren't you?
I wish there was a profanity filter just for Lamar. I'm fine with fuck. I'm fine with bitch. I'm fine with shit. But man, oh man, Lamar is something else.
He is, let me tell certainly you, a character.
But holy shit, the story is so great. I can't believe I've only ever played online.
I'll eventually get back to it like a year from now. I never beat this game. Probably should.
It's a ton of fun because once you do the first heist, things just kind of like roll. It doesn't feel as sandboxy
anymore.
I
think I'm still like at the setup part of it.
Yeah.
If I remember right. I don't even fucking remember where I'm at.
But like the intro alludes to the kind of like the main conflict. You're now being blackmailed by the FIB who put Michael into witness protection. But like, Michael, you fucked up. We have to protect you still, but you got to do a favor for us. So the FIB is trying to take down the IAA. And then you have to do like a series of heists with Michael, Trevor, and Franklin.
I just know how the end. One of the endings.
There's three endings.
I know. And I know one
dun,
of them.
Dun, dun. But GTA is a lot of fun. I've been doing a lot of that story mode because I just enjoy driving around Los Santos. It's just very relaxing. Like, I've been considering picking up Forza Horizon just so I have a driving game to, like, chill
drive
with.
Drive around shit.
Yeah. A nice open world.
If you go Forza Horizon 2, I think, you gotta drive around the mountains of Colorado.
But 3 is in Australia.
Oi! But Colorado. You could go to all the ski resorts and unrealistically be able to stay there because God knows you don't have enough money to stay at Vail.
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving around a car. I think you probably have expendable income if you're just driving around a car the whole day.
But enough to stay at Aspen?
Sure, why not?
I actually sleep in my car, so.
Video games and logic and shit.
Video games are fun, dude. Let me tell you.
They are.
So, another really cool thing. Special shout out to Tim Husky from Aggravated Art, because every time I walk into Hall of Justice, it's like Z2 in the house. Wait, Z1 in the house.
And,
he's just a really funny dude. Really funny guy.
Tim, I'm sorry I cannot reasonably turn up the levels anymore. They're at almost the peak volume, unless you just want to hear an echo from the room the whole time.
Yeah, you can hear the mad dishwasher going on right now.
Sorry, that dishwasher sounds terrifying.
I was hoping it would be done by now. It's just that ambient noise in the background.
But, crap. He was suggesting that we have Sir Neckbeard on the podcast.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, no.
So we brought that back up.
I don't know if I could physically handle that.
And then you could show him, like, print out the tweet, put it in 11x17 of Wally West is the fastest speedster. Like, here you go.
Oh, yeah, when I was texting, or when I was messaging Brett Booth.
Yep.
But we were trying to describe him to John. It's like, I can't believe someone said that. And we were just trying to pinpoint it. And he was like, yeah, that was when you were a platypus. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm excited that that's actually, like,
that is
a date marker now. I am a platypus.
Star date Zach is a platypus.
God, it was so funny, though.
I can't even make the platypus noise, or I would.
As we all try and fail into the microphone.
That's a lot of
growling. For you, audio listeners, because you're the only listeners.
What do you mean, all of us?
Okay, Steve.
You tried inside.
I did.
You gave it a shot, mentally.
Well, and the name is Z2, after all.
Yeah.
You're the S in podcast.
Yes. You're the sixth letter of the word.
And that means, like, Tim could be, like, the T. John could be, like, the A. There's an A in his name somewhere.
Could be A for Aquaman.
He's the silent J.
Yes.
Somewhere in there.
Don't say that. Rachel will actually redo the logo and just put a tiny J hidden somewhere on there. She still needs her headshot.
If you use a black light here, you'll be able to see the secrets.
Well, if you decode the secret message, you'll find a J right here.
If you go to the web encoding source of this picture and then filter it into the negative, it's actually just John's face. You remove the top layer on Photoshop.
Yes. Oh, man.
It's like hiding the Mona Lisa under a lesser painting.
We have the Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration?
Declaration of Independence.
Was
that sung by Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
I hate both of you.
Hate is such a strong word.
That's why I'm using it.
I don't say fucking shit when you talk about Power Rangers except groan.
Speaking of Power Rangers.
No.
The Super Mega Battle game.
Local co-op.
Yeah, and 4-player achievements for local co-op only.
Just run around in a circle the whole time.
Well, but who will you run around as? Are you going to pick Billy? Maybe Kimberly? How about Trini?
God damn it. I like maybe how you've Zach. Already taken Jason for yourself. That's the only character you didn't say.
I was going to go Zach.
Yeah.
Get that Mastodon axe? Hell yeah.
I don't know. Kimberly has the bow, though. Tim said that was actually one of his favorite segments.
Although, if we do get the DLC, one of us could be Tommy.
Dies.
But
on
the DLC
inside.
Is a pre-order bonus.
I thought it was still available. You just have to buy it separately now.
Oh. And you can also be Rocky and...
Oh, wait. Yeah. If we get the DLC, then I'm going to be Adam, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You could be Rocky and Adam.
I will be the Johnny Young Bosch.
Who is it? Not Kimberly.
Kat? Aisha.
Aisha.
And then Billy was just there forever.
Yeah, Billy alternative costume.
Yeah, you get alternate Billy.
This is my life.
So who would you pick, Zach?
Like I said, one of my favorite conversations was just Tim saying how much he loved talking about the Power Rangers for the sole fact you would just pipe in every once in a while. And Carissa,
like, why?
Carissa was sitting on the couch. She's like, Power Rangers is so bad. I'm like, yeah, but we were talking about it. And it was just so much fun to watch Zach be agonized.
And I want to throw one little last note in here before we stop all Power Rangers talk. Ninja Steel premiered yesterday.
I have not watched it, but they have
either.
A really weird theme song. They go back to the Go-Go Power Rangers.
Kind of.
Interesting.
It looks like it might not be as badly acted.
They get shuriken.
We did make a joke. We did make a series of jokes about the Power Rangers last night, about how the one guy stabbed his roommate with a katana.
Oh, the Wild Force Ranger.
Yeah.
Wild Force Ranger who came back to play a villain later, stabbed his roommate with a katana because I think it was...
They're having an argument.
Brandon, who was like, aren't they all in jail or dead?
It's yeah.
Like, no, one of them is dead. The rest are fine.
One's in jail. One of the villains is dead. Bryan Cranston is still going strong.
The person who played Trini died in a car accident years and years and years ago. But otherwise, everyone else is kind of cool and kicking.
Except for Jason David Frank. He hates everyone.
Yeah, but he's immortal, so... The man does not age.
He legitimately doesn't like any of his castmates.
He seems like one of those people.
We're enough at CES.
Yeah. But Marvel Puzzle Quest. I caved.
Fuck both of you.
You bought things?
Well, no, I didn't buy anything. It's because I was trying to do No Pull January.
Uh-huh.
And I had like 60 recruit tokens saved up. Or just 60 tokens in general. And I was like, in a moment of weakness, I just opened everything. So I'm going to do No Pull February.
Okay.
And I'm trying to do PvP right now, and it sucks because I get attacked every 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing.
I still cannot believe there's a goddamn PvP in a meta to this goddamn puzzle game.
Stop doing the shield simulator. And
yeah, I keep getting attacked. I
got my Thanos. I got the 1,200 point Thanos.
I'm trying to get Squirtle
for a little bit, and now I'm getting demolished. And
it's okay. There's PvP because there's different characters you can get. It's not Bejeweled, where it's only matching. Or like Candy Crush, where it's only matching. You have characters that have abilities, and in order to get energy for your abilities, you have to match things, Zach.
And meanwhile, all the characters have attack stats for different colors. So if you want Iron Man to get the best result, you have to do either a red or a blue match.
And not that many characters have a pink match. So right now I'm switching between Hawkeye and Daken, because they're the only two pink characters that are really a high level for me.
Not a lot of black matches either. That's why I keep my Captain Marvel around.
Dude, level 25 Captain Marvel.
Level 70, sir. She is a 4-star.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Got it.
Not my
swimsuit.
Not my Miss Marvel.
You done?
Her, I can't get enough covers for her to level up.
Are we done?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm good too. So Netflix and HBO, I don't know what that's about. I didn't put that in the notes.
So there was an article about how, hang on, was it? There was another service that recently went to the binge format. Let me see what it was.
Is Netflix going to stop judging me now? Are you still watching this? Yes.
No, they're probably still
judging.
Only
on season 6 of Always Sunny. Stop it.
It was the BBC announced this week that they were going to go to a binge-watching format, so where they just release everything of a season at once.
So I can watch all 9 episodes of Sherlock in one day?
You mean all 4?
Well, across
the show's probably not going to come back because apparently the last season just got horrible ratings.
Well, and the season finale, or series finale for you British people.
Yeah. But anyway, Netflix is predicting, if with such a big network going to a binge-watching format, that HBO's going to soon follow that with their series, just based on how successful those are, and people just really prefer that, it seems.
But I wonder how their ratings would be affected by that. Like, I don't know, like, the view-to-money ratio. Like, if you get more monies watching on TV with your subscription, or you get money from the web.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how the TV.
I don't think it'll affect like HBO that way, of like if they do the everything at once, because they don't do commercials as it is, so they don't need.
That's true.
They don't get ad revenue that way.
Also, that would really kind of cut into their revenue, since a lot of people start and stop HBO for certain shows.
Yeah, like me. Like, I don't have HBO anymore because I changed service providers. But when Game of Thrones comes back, I'm probably gonna do a HBO Now.
Yeah, so
yeah, same, like, since that crosses account for everything.
Yeah, since that crosses over several months, like, that would. I get what they're Netflix is saying, though. Just like Series of Unfortunate Events, all 8 episodes, go have fun.
And it,
like,
gets confirmed for the second season.
I mean, people get a better.
Steven watched it all on the same day.
I would be curious to see like a show that they do like weekly released, and then, like, because you gotta wait till the final episode to get a proper review of the show out.
Right.
Series of Unfortunate Events had a freaking review out, like, the next day.
That had reviews out
the
that day.
The show is too depressing.
Says the man.
That's
who's probably
quite unfortunate.
Who's never read the books.
Right, but I get where their heads are at, because it makes sense, because in theory you could get more viewers and get more subscriptions. It's like, oh, this show is amazing, you need to watch this. Okay, I'm gonna go get a subscription right now and go binge it, if now that people have said it's good.
Especially
from start
since
to
a lot of our culture now is very much like, I want to wait until something is done in order to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good and bad thing, because a lot of people are like, yeah, I'll just wait for this Green Lantern show to finish before I watch it.
Yeah, but then
it's getting canceled because no one's watching it. Shit.
Yeah, it is a weird problem. It's like, it's different from Netflix, since it's like, okay, all of our episodes are out. How many people watched all of them? Or, like, how
all
many people,
people?
Yeah, how many people just watched certain episodes, or like, was there a cutoff? I'd be really interested to see Netflix stats.
Well, I cherry pick episodes of, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I love the show. It's one of my favorite shows. But when I go back to rewatch things, I'm like, I'm going to start at season 5. Ooh, the gang does the wrestling episode. Oh, I don't want to watch this one. But, oh, the next one is
this
great
episode.
Yeah,
I mean, you've already watched the whole show.
Yeah, and it's not like, I don't know, It's Always Sunny is not very much like that anthology kind of thing where nothing
Nothing
really matters.
Like, they have references to other episodes, don't they?
Oh my god, their references are stupid incredible. It's like, oh, the people from the first season when they go to the health clinic are the same people in season 10 when Dee and freaking Dennis get addicted to crack again. It's the same exact people.
They pull the exact same stunt again. And then Dennis and Charlie show up, or Mac and Charlie show up to the welfare clinic at the exact same time again, and almost the exact same scenario.
That's sunny for you.
Fuck. Yep. Sorry, and I'm then, Puzzle Quest. Speaking of BBC, oh my god. God damn you. BBC and Amazon are going to be working together to produce the Good Omens series.
That I'm really excited
for. I am too. Like, freaking Good Omens is such an amazing book.
And my American Gods.
That's already Stars. Yeah, it's on Stars. And it's already in production.
Yeah, but
it's coming out this year.
April of this year, actually.
Yeah.
So why are you asking where it is if you know where it is?
Because they need to finish this series and let me watch it first before they
it's
throw another series.
It's on two different providers.
Right, but they're going to throw two series at me.
It's not going to be done this year.
You have to get two different subscriptions for it at the same time.
But you can probably borrow it.
It's probably going to be on Amazon.
It is going to be on Amazon, so okay, you probably need Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I can actually use my Amazon Prime for something other than shit.
I know. I can actually watch something on it since I gave up on Man in the High Castle.
Well, no, it got its third season.
I could not get
I couldn't get
into the show because I couldn't stand the main character.
That's the point. One of the
God,
points.
I hate shows like that. It's like, here, you got to care. This character, you're going to be following around the whole series, but they're fucking terrible. It's like, I don't care. Show me the Nazi character. He's more interesting.
Show me the Nazis.
Show me Nazis.
A quote that will go down in history now.
Oh, please don't let that be the title of this
no,
series.
Show me the Nazi character.
It won't. And then Captain America can punch them. Oh, man.
Captain America is the best.
But yeah, Good Omens. I'm hyped for that. If Neil Gaiman's going to be working on it, it should be good. Just based on what we've seen of so far of American Gods, that looks top. It looks really good, so excited for that. Excited for Good Omens. More Neil Gaiman stuff.
He is wonderful.
How many more things until he finally has his whole anthology into a show or movie? He's done, three movies?
Stardust, Coraline.
Is that it? Might be it.
That might be it. I don't think Nevermore has been adapted yet. Or Neverwhere.
I think Ocean at the End of the Lane might be getting adapted.
I would cry.
It's a very short book.
It's so depressing.
It is. It's also kind of weird near the end, as all Neil Gaiman things are.
Yeah. So for next year, when we do actual books for book club, we'll read that. All right, guys. I won the battle in Puzzle Quest. By the way,
good for you.
You gonna put it down?
Yeah, I'm done.
And actually, join us for.
I've been talking.
In between. Yep. Uh huh. Uh-huh.
I have put some good insight while I was swiping my thumb. I had one health pack left, so I wanted to do this last battle before I go off to the gym and lift. Phone's on. Actually, I need my phone for the notes.
God damn it. So new Logan trailer.
Dude, holy shit.
To see little X-23. She's adorable and vicious.
I just love the beginning. It's just her in the grocery store trying to
leave
and steal shit, and the guy comes over and she flips him over and is about to punch him.
And Logan's no,
Papa Logan.
Bad.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, is she gonna pop her claws? Does he know that she's his clone? Probably doesn't.
At that point, probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Just maybe. He knows she's a mutant or something. And one of the more interesting things about the Logan trailer is that Hugh Jackman came out with a statement later saying that Logan is in a whole separate continuity than everything else in the X-Men movies, because he told Fox this would be his last movie, and basically Fox told him, it's like, okay, well, what do you want? And then they gave him a completely blank canvas to do Logan.
We got Patrick Stewart cussing.
Yeah, he said the F word, man. Yeah. Fuck.
I love the scene where X-23 is slowly pulling out her tiny claws. I was like, oh, look at the little baby claws. She's going to kill all of you.
And then she murdered them all.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, God, that's brutal. And she just walks
out. I even love
it.
Yeah, I think, is that supposed to be Stryker, maybe?
No.
Whoever that's supposed to be is
bad.
And then she proceeds to kill them all.
And I think they've Marigold, who's the director, confirmed that we won't see Mr. Sinister in the movie. Like, as Mr. Sinister, we might see, like, his civilian persona, possibly. But, you know, this is a bigger departure than the other X-Men movies. But I guess this kind of debunks the fact that I think Professor X was a, just, like, his conscience.
Yeah. He's actually there.
They're sitting
there
eating dinner together. I'm like, well, shit. Consciences can't eat food.
They wouldn't do all that. But when X-23 looked at him, he's like, yeah, no. She's not looking at blank space like, oh, there's nothing there.
What are you looking at? Swift.
What are you looking at? I love the fact, too, that he picks that comic book up from where it's like, oh, we got an X-Men fan here.
Which kind of weirded me. I was like, wait, what?
Well, it's kind of like the DC thing where DC heroes exist, but civilians make comic books about them.
Or like Megalopolis.
Yeah,
where all the heroes have their own books, and that's how they like have their favorite hero, but they actually exist.
Yep, and I think Captain Carrot from DC on his world, he's actually a comic book artist too. Mm. Instead of he's an XP of Superman, so instead of working at like the Daily Planet, he's just a comic book artist. Which is cool. But one of the cool fun facts about this is that Joe Quesada, who's a high up, I think he's president of Marvel or something along those lines. He was the one who drew the comic. And then like that was like the first thing he's drawn in years for comic books. And then he had his like old friend do inks and colors for it, which was really cool too. Oh,
might be that guy. Zach's Joe Quesada. He is...
I don't know, he might just be an editor.
I think he's just an editor.
He was also the person who mandated the divorce of Mary Jane and Peter. So we have a lot of people just don't like him.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that he came back into this cool thing, and then like the whole redesign of the costumes and like this. Oh, the X-Men, ha 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 ha. Yeah. And then you can like see Wolverine's eyes underneath his costume. I'm like, nope, that's weird. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Go back to the Marvel glowy eyes thing.
Now the question is, are we going to get yellow spandex Wolverine?
I don't think we're going to get any spandex Wolverine.
I think he's just old.
At the very end, is he going to put on the costume?
I think the most we're going to get is him in a tank top again.
I think he's an old man, Logan.
As they're flying through the forest, just clawing people.
That's
that's so like early 2000s style
but
of fucking
it's
action.
It's such a Wolverine thing where he's
I know,
just flying
just diving
the air.
At them.
And I'm like, when I was watching the actor who plays Laura fly through the air, I'm like, this is giving me really weird flashbacks to that Underworld movie.
Yeah.
Where
the Wiggins are just diving on people.
Well, no, it's the child. The main character's kid is like half lycan, half vampire, and she just goes ape shit on someone. And I'm like, oh, this is what we're gonna get. This is why this is rated R.
Yeah,
I'm pretty pumped.
And the fucks,
because you only get one fuck in a PG-13 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have many fucks to give.
We have at least two.
So many.
At least two, and a claw uppercut.
Yes.
Just to have Laura.
Provided that doesn't get cut.
That's what the red band trailers have given us so far.
It's literally the same thing, but just that extra scene of him uppercutting a guy.
So good.
Red band.
Freaking Ravengers.
Yep.
God. They're not even a good villain, kind of, sometimes. What do I know?
Mutants.
But you know what is really cool, other than mutants? Is that the Injustice 2 comic is coming back. Or Injustice is coming back as Injustice 2.
I've never read any of it. I just see the freaking screen caps of Superman killing Joker and Batman's reaction.
Injustice was the first few years, like years 1 through 3, are probably some of the best well-written evil Superman stories ever. And same with the Injustice game. Like, it's super brutal what he does. Like, you know, he kills Shazam for arguing with him.
By blasting lasers through his face.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's a thing in year one where there's parademons just like raining down from the sky, and then Superman flies up, just laser beams all of them, and then Batman realizes like, oh god, there's no turning back anymore, and then like it's black ashes just falling from the sky, and all these kids are shouting and playing and yelling. I'm like, ugh. Oh dear God, this is brutal. But Tom Taylor, who wrote the first couple years of the Injustice comic, he also writes all new Wolverine for Marvel and Justice League Power Rangers, just bringing it back, is going to be writing the Injustice 2 lead up, which I'm really excited for. I'm not going to get the game.
I'm absolutely getting the game.
Even though they're fucking shafting you, it's like 9 DLC characters.
Some of them are skins. So, like, the Supergirl skin DLC is Power Girl, who has different lines and a different costume. Mm. They also do that with Hal Jordan, John Stewart. I think there was, like, one more specific one. I don't remember.
All I know is they released a new trailer for it. An actual story trailer for the game.
The lines have been redrawn.
Isn't it pretty much just Batman trying to take out Superman now?
No, it's essentially showing before and after the events of Injustice, the first game, where it actually shows Robin, which I'm assuming it's supposed to be the Damian Robin, because
Damian's Nightwing, though.
Right. Well, yeah, it was a scene before Injustice 1, where, like, before Superman was taken down, and it's Batman fighting a Robin, but the Robin has the Tim Drake bow staff.
Well, Damian had it too,
but it didn't look like the Damian outfit. Okay. It looked more like the Tim Drake Robin.
Well,
but then I can assume that there can be Damian from him being the evil Nightwing.
The Teen Titans,
the Teen Angst Nightwing,
went to the Phantom Zone. Yeah, so Clark brutally wounded Connor. And the only way to save Connor was putting him in the Phantom Zone, and the rest of the Teen Titans went with him so he wouldn't be alone. So, that's a thing.
Okay.
And then we got Teen Angst Nightwing with the long emo hair and daddy issues and...
You're not my father. I wonder if we get Deadman Nightwing as a character. Because when Dick Grayson dies in Injustice, you know, falling on a rock, literally, he becomes Deadman after Boston Brand dies. And
again,
we got like really cool reconciliation between him and Bruce, and then he has a good talk with Damian, but Damian's still a dick, which is the core essence of his character always. But yes, man, Deadman Nightwing was cool.
I'm assuming the Injustice 2 story is going to be maybe Supergirl trying to get Superman out, because like at the very end it shows Batman in one corner, Superman in another, and then Supergirl in another. Like, just facing off in, like, a triangle of death and destruction. I don't know if she's trying to...
So where's Wonder Woman in all this?
She was fighting... No.
Yeah, she was. In the original Injustice.
I thought she converted over to Batman's side.
Maybe. Eventually. I've only read parts of the comic.
And then, at the very end, you see Brainiac come out, so... He's probably gonna be the big bad.
That's gonna reunite them all.
Controlling the whole...
Take that, Marvel.
He's the puppeteer, but it'll be interesting to see what the story is. I'm definitely getting it.
Yeah,
probably going to pre-order to be able to play as Darkseid.
Yeah, I can't wait till all the cutscenes get uploaded to the YouTube.
Or we could do a Let's Play of it.
I'll button mash
as soon as Worms comes out.
I got to work on Overcooked first. There are plans for it.
Steve, I like how Zach just releases it and Steve does like this whole amazing editing thing.
It is an art, okay?
It is an art.
If I wanted to, I could probably upload it right now. I've clipped it all, but I have plans for what's going in between the clips.
Plans. Death and destruction.
Yeah. Yes, actually. There is a lot of death.
Yeah, I like that. Crap. We had so much fun playing with Joe and none of it was recorded.
No. So many fails.
So who was killed by Doomsday again, Zach?
Who was killed by Doomsday?
Who was killed by Doomsday?
A lot of people were.
But if it were between two people...
Recalling a certain Trivial Pursuit event.
You know, when you accidentally misread the question and you think it says Darkseid, you would think it would be Batman. But due to stress and anxiety, I clicked Batman when the answer was Superman.
So what you're saying is Batman went to the Czech Republic?
Probably. Fuck you. I think it was a goddamn technicality.
What's something that Steven got wrong and we all laughed at him about? Nothing. Because Steven
got stuff wrong, but he never talked shit and then immediately got an answer wrong.
And yet I'm still the king.
Only by one.
You remember all those soccer questions that came up and actually got the lead in the sports section? Good times. but
it was quickly lost in the entertainment other good section.
Times is that more information for the duet has come out. It's going to be a Flash episode with a Supergirl lead in. So kind of like how the Invasion worked. So maybe we get like the last 5 minutes of Supergirl is the Flash episode. But they confirmed like all the people who are going to be singing in the Flash Supergirl crossover.
Just bring the whole cast of Glee in.
Just have them there.
Make them all the villains. And
well, we know Music Meister is the villain, and everyone wants it to be Neil Patrick Harris, but we haven't gotten confirmation. I feel like they're just not going to say anything.
Probably not.
It's just going to be like surprise.
Well, kind of like when Mark Hamill became the Trickster in the Flash. They didn't really put it out there until right before the episode came out.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, look, Mark Hamill.
He's reprising his role.
He's Luke Skywalker.
Everyone was kind of like thinking, like, they're going to do the Trickster. Should be Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And then when the episode came out, they're like, it's confirmed.
Yay! So we got Grant Gustin singing. We got Melissa Benoit, who's singing. Benoit Supergirl.
Is that how you actually say
I think so.
We got Jesse L. Martin. So we got Joe. Victor Garber. He's on Legends. I don't know who he is in Legends.
Victor Garber.
We got John Barrowman, who will be in the episode.
Why is Malcolm Merlyn going to be in? He's in the past or future, whatever, with the Legion of Somewhat Doom.
We got Cisco's going to be singing.
That'll be interesting.
Jeremy Jordan. I have no idea who that is.
That maybe Wally?
Jeremy Jordan.
Okay, you can look at Jeremy Jordan. I'll look at Victor Garber.
He is, oh God, what's his name? Supergirl's friend.
Oh, the techie dude. Crap, what's his name?
Is it Finn?
Toyman.
Toyman's son.
Oh, Victor Garber's Firestore.
Wynn Scott.
Jeremy Jordan
is Wynn.
Yeah, he's Wynn.
Okay, yeah.
And then Victor Garber's old man Firestore. So it's pretty cool. And then they also released details for when Gypsy's coming. So Gypsy is from Earth 19, and she has Vibe-esque powers, and she's come to take HG, who has violated the laws of Earth 19, which means you can't dimension hop. And
So there's a law for Earth 19 that you can't dimension hop, so they're enforcing it on other Earths.
Well, because HG came from
HR
Harrison Wells. Character came from Earth 19 this season.
Oh,
because it's a different Harrison Wells every season, Zach.
Yeah, I thought this hipster Wells was three.
I want Earth 2 Wells back. He was a dick, but he was becoming a lovable dick.
Yeah. So
just one to protect Jesse.
He's the best character.
More speedsters.
Just flashes of lightning is the episode.
He
and
was
someone goes.
How long until we finally get a Rogues Gallery thing?
We had a Rogues Gallery,
like a full mashup.
A full-on
like they're war. They're the key villains, like because we've just had speedster season. After speedster after speedster.
Eventually,
kind of getting old.
When Captain Cold comes back,
# keep the dream alive.
Why are you filming 24? Was it? Is he filming 24 or Prison Break? Yeah, he's filming Prison Break.
Prison Break season 5.
Oh, I didn't know that show was still on.
Yep, they brought it back for one more season.
Yeah, they're breaking out of prison.
Ah, they're breaking out
of prison. In the Middle East.
Okay.
Prison Break.
I've never watched Prison Break.
Anyways, with the whole Gypsy episode that's coming up, we actually get to see Cisco in the Vibe costume from the comics.
Woo!
And then Cisco and Gypsy have to battle to the death to save HR.
Dun, 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 nice. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, and we know the rules of every heroic team up. They fight for a bit and then another big bad comes along. So, and then we do know Gorilla Grodd's coming back, and we're going to probably see some more of Gorilla City stuff. So I'm excited for that.
That would be pretty cool.
That's some of my favorite Flash stuff.
CGI Gorilla.
Never I thought I would see the day where I would see a CGI Gorilla fight a man in red spandex. My dream has come true.
Or fight a giant CGI shark man. Is he a mutant man, or is he a mutant shark?
What a world.
I don't know.
What a world.
I think he's actually a shark that's a mutant.
I thought he was a man who was a mutant.
We'll talk about this later.
Gail Simone has like her own memes.
Getting to the semantics of King Shark.
Yeah, and we also have the return of Laurel Lance and Arrow when it comes back next week.
God, that fuck, fucking mid-season cliffhanger.
And then,
wanted to throw punch someone after that.
What else do we have? Powerless is going to debut, and Powerless takes place on Earth P. So no relation to anything else. And we
so
know,
no Earth Prime? Is it supposed to be Earth Prime?
Earth Powerless.
Which, after actually watching the trailer, I can see what you mean, how they radically changed the plot.
Yeah, it's no longer an insurance firm.
I would have actually liked it if it was an insurance firm. It could. It's probably still going to be good, hopefully, with the disaster-proofing Wayne Tech people, but I would have liked the insurance company. That would have... I think worked a lot better.
I would have expected it to be a lot like The Office or Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
If it was the insurance firm.
No, the question...
Like, they just cut to the face cam, and it's like Red Fox sitting there. It's like, I caught a bus, and six people broke their neck. They're alive.
I helped.
I saved them.
You're welcome. Now, the question is, did Bruce Wayne's parents have siblings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate Kane is related to...
Right, okay, so we got them.
Bruce's
who
mom.
Who else? Because the head of the Wayne Tech insurance or the inventor people is apparently Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Elseworlds.
Could be the Canes.
It could be the Canes.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned...
His uncles were in 0 year for main continuity, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Canes are the most notable, at least in recent years, the most notable family ties.
One of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Who knows? Don't you know? Another cool DC-related news, though, is that we have DC Green Lantern casting rumors.
What? For a movie or a show?
For a movie. Ooh. And it's really interesting to see who...
Is that Green Lantern Corps movie?
Yeah, so, you know, David Goyer and Justin Rhodes are going to be tackling it. But here's the top contenders. Tom Cruise. Bradley Cooper.
Eh.
Armie Hammer.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Joel McHale.
Eh.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Bring him back.
Well, no, that's like...
Give him another try with a decent script.
Yeah.
And no even fart cloud much, parallax.
Even as much shit as he's talked about it in recent years.
Well, I think Deadpool is very cathartic for him. He got to meditate on it in the Saturday morning cartoon.
He got to take one of his worst characters and turn it into something good. Maybe he can do it again with Hal Jordan.
But IO9 had, like, the most scathing... Not necessarily the most scathing, but they had, like, one of the most, like, what the fuck, DC? Come on. And then they were talking about... Exactly. It's like, look, if you make the Green Lantern movie canon, then that's going to fuck with your continuity, because then that means that weird 2011 movie with Green Lantern, the thing that rebooted the whole franchise, is
pretty
now
sure
canon.
Everybody acts the Green Lantern, just disregards that Green
well,
Lantern
it's
movie
like,
well,
point.
By that logic... The Deadpool from X-Men Origins would
exactly.
have to be canon.
Exactly.
With the Deadpool movie. It doesn't have to be. It can be two separate entities. You just happen to have the same actor.
Yeah, and so a lot of people are like, yeah, it's going to confuse people, though. I'm like, no, well, no one's going to care. It's
nobody gives a shit.
It's like, see, that'd be like casting Christian Bale again as Batman. I'm like, no.
That'd be cool. If it was written by... If he didn't do the Batman voice, sure.
But I'm Batman.
If he does a good job, sure. I don't care.
But I don't get it. Like, a lot of the internet was like, Ryan Reynolds. He made a fantastic Hal Jordan.
He did the best he could with what he was given.
I like to go back to the Star Wars prequels with this sort of thing. Star Wars prequels? Not necessarily terrible.
Yeah, the Trade Federation did no wrong. Palpatine set everything up.
With the cast they had... It could have been a phenomenal movie if they had the right script. The best actors can only do so much with a steaming turd.
It's true. Just that scene of freaking crap. Who played Obi-Wan?
Ian McGregor.
Yeah, Ian McGregor just sitting there with the CGI screen behind him, just like blank face, and then it cuts, and it's like John Grievous just spitting his lightsabers.
All right, Ian. So, Ewan, you need to act surprised here.
Like
that's one for all of you audio listeners. Zach posing,
acting like surprised.
Like Ewan McGregor did a great job as Obi-Wan. He captured what Alex Guinness did as Obi-Wan. Like he had the manner.
Whatever. Sir Alec Guinness.
He captured the mannerism of Mr. Guinness,
Sir Guinness.
Mister.
No, it's Sir. Sir is a title. Knighted.
Not my queen.
Hashtag not my queen.
I hate. Anyways, Steve, I'm going to stop interrupting.
This would work if we were in Canada.
But he captured the mannerisms of old Obi-Wan. You happy now? I'm even going to try and say the name now. And if they had a better script, it could have worked. If they took out lines of, I hate sand, it's so coarse, and it gets everywhere.
But Sabine said it last week on Rebels.
Everybody, it's
and
a
everyone
jo-
it's
loved
a joke
it.
Now.
I know, everyone loves it. But, crap, what was I going to say? But Hollywood Reporter, they said, or not Hollywood Reporter, whatever website I was looking
IO9.
At.
Heroic Hollywood?
Yeah, Heroic Hollywood. Their top contenders, they want Tom Cruise.
Why? But he's busy with the mummy now.
He's also really short.
They can alter perspective like they do for every single one of his movies.
I know. It's going to be like the whole... He's going to stand on a box the entire time. Right next to Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's all perspective.
But, So, crap. Who was it? So Greg Silverman, who was the former president for Warner Brothers, said that Green Lantern is an incredible character. He's actually multiple incredible characters, and there's a real opportunity there. We didn't do a great job with that first Green Lantern movie.
This is
a character who deserves to be treated the same way that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are treated now, which is with great reverence. I guess I can say to the Green Lantern fans, if they can be patient with us, I think they'll be really happy. So... We do know that Hal Jordan and John Stewart are going to pop in. So, no, I can't really see Ryan Reynolds in, like, an older, more mature Hal Jordan role. I see him more as the goofball Hal Jordan.
I mean, he can do dramatic roles. I've seen him in dramatic movies, and he does a good job of not being the goofball.
Yeah.
He can be a very mature character.
That's fair. I've only seen him as a goofball.
Now, would the general public like him as Hal Jordan again?
I don't know if he would want to.
I don't think he's blamed for it, though.
Yeah. I just don't think he wants to after how bad it went.
There's a significant amount of people who I think would blame him for it, kind of like the actors in other shitty movies.
But no one gives Natalie Portman shit for Star Wars because she is the queen.
Not my queen.
She is my queen.
She's a yes, senator.
Queen.
I really think Bradley Cooper would be fun in Army Hammer, especially after watching, what was that movie? Army Hammer and Henry Cavill.
Oh,
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be really fun, just to have those two characters appear again, and then it's just like, have them have like a small interaction, like goofball Hal Jordan, like a serious Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, there's a lot of contenders now for Hal Jordan. And I mean, like, everyone's still campaigning to be Jon Stewart. But where's my guy Gardner?
Where are the redheads that want to play an angry Green Lantern?
Where's the man with the bowl cut?
We don't need to talk about Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner's the best Green Lantern.
The other Green Lanterns don't like to talk about him, so why should we?
He's the best Green Lantern. He's the best Red Lantern, even. He's just the best Lantern ever, Steve. Hal Jordan's not my Lantern. And then I feel like if Green Lantern Corps does well enough, they'll just keep adding human lanterns.
Yeah.
I think we're at like 6 Earth Lanterns right now. So everyone's like,
1, 2, 3.
What about the aliens? Can we have a Ba-Ox solo title? I think I'm the only one that'll ever want that.
I think we've got 6 Pretty Earth sure. Lanterns now.
Yeah.
Well, 6 that exist, not necessarily on Earth.
Right. We only have 2 on Earth. Everyone else is dicking around in space.
Mm-hmm. Like
Kyle's white now, so Kyle's been white for a while.
He's had the power of the White Lantern for quite some time.
White Lantern, listeners. White Lantern.
He is Hispanic.
Yes. But
Very important aspect.
I wonder, too, like if this Green Lantern Corps movie, how far... balls deep are they going to go into the lore? Because Jeff Johns...
They really fucked it up last time.
Jeff Johns structured the freaking mythology of the Lantern so well, bringing... Like, a lot of the stuff that he's done is basically the most legendary
Lance. I can picture it now. He learns that some the people in the DC office are writing the Green Lantern script. He busts down the door. Let me see it. What are you doing?
We talked about this. Remember where he wears a different shirt every day?
And he's just standing in the door while they're writing and just going,
You're not having Abin Sur in the movie? Not even a flashback? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Maybe this is his whole plan after the original Green Lantern movie. He sounds like, you know what? Never again. I'm going to become president. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to be in control of this.
I'm surprised that he's not one of the writers for it.
He's too busy with everything else.
Yeah, this year is being his return to comics, but I feel like once the first draft gets done, he is the editor for it. He just stamps the Green Lantern symbol on the front draft.
Aquaman. It's just a combination of the Green Lantern and Aquaman symbols.
It's his new ring.
Yeah.
The Aqualantern. Power can control water.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm just so excited for the next Geoff Johns event. Just bring it back.
I really hope that the Justice League and Wonder Woman movies just like do so well that people have faith in them again.
Yeah, I think Suicide Squad.
It's not my DC comics.
Suicide Squad movie. Hurt a lot of people's faith.
Like,
in DC.
Oh God!
Because for some reason, a lot of people like to categorize it as the worst movie of the year. I don't get that.
I've seen worse movies.
I've seen absolutely worse movies. Mm-hmm. And I liked...
I've seen Love, actually.
I think it was mostly that people...
I thoroughly enjoyed
You Suicide actually like... Squad. Oh, I thought you were going to say
oh,
Love,
God,
actually.
No. Love, actually, is a piece of shit.
I think a lot of people were just upset about it because it made so much money. They're like, it doesn't deserve that. It's like, well, I mean, people fucking saw it. Transformers doesn't necessarily deserve all the money they make, but they keep making shit tons of money.
Hey, fuck you. Transformers last night is going to be amazing. It has to be.
As King Arthur in it.
Please. For like, it's going to be like 15 minutes. Please guarantee it.
Please let it be.
The Excalibur sword is actually Minicron? No.
Minicons.
Minibots?
Minicons.
Minicons?
Minicons.
Armada?
Yes, Minicons. Okay.
Micron.
Minicons.
What am I thinking of? I don't know.
Maybe Micro Machines?
It's the thing from Ron the Space Knight. Minibots? I don't know.
Mm.
All right, going forward too, with the DC movies, the animated Judas Contract movie finally got some more details.
Sweet.
And the first trailer came out.
Ooh.
So we know the cast is Blue Beetle, Beast Boy, Starfire, Nightwing with the new animated costume. He has the red arm stripes. It's not blue for whatever reason, and they're not finger stripes, but, and then Tara, well, like, fuck, whatever.
She's going to betray everyone, as the story
Raven
goes.
No Raven.
No Damien. Also,
no Damien.
Damn it.
We don't know where they are.
I'm assuming they're going to be there since they set up the movie at the very end of the Teen Titans movie.
Exactly. And we also know Cyborg's been promoted to Justice League, so he's not going to play a main role.
Booyah.
I just find it weird that Blue Beetle's there. Like,
it's their
name. I mean, yeah.
It's the new animated team.
It is the new animated
team.
It's
their replacement for Tempest.
That's true.
I almost said Temptress.
Kid Flash.
Aqualad.
I'm trying to think of who's in the comic, who's not in the animated.
So the original...
Kid Flash is the only one who's not there.
Well, I think the original Judas Contract was Robin, Wonder Girl, Speedy. Actually, I'm going to look up before I keep talking.
I think it was the Titans crew.
Yeah.
But in the Teen Titans days.
And the one thing that everyone's hoping for, like DC subreddit, was like, this looks cool. Please get rid of the weird romance side plot.
Yes, that's what I was just going to bring up, is if they try and bring in the Slade-Tara romance.
Tara looks like freaking Captain Marvel.
A little bit.
Like old school Miss Marvel with the swimsuit a bit and the eye mask.
The original Judas Contract crew was... My being is slow as fuck. Jericho, Donna, Raven, Beast Boy, Cyborg, Starfire, and Nightwing. With, you know, Tara and Deathstroke. And I feel like this movie, a lot of people had gripes about Justice League. A lot of people do not like the new animated movies. I feel like they're good in their own universe and category. But I feel like this one, like the one of the most pinnacle Teen Titans stories, if they fuck it up, that's when they're going to lose the most people.
Yeah.
And you have to keep in mind, this movie was supposed to happen like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When the Teen Titans series ended, like the animated series ended, they were in talks of doing a more adult Judas Contract movie.
But they
kind of like finish out the story.
Yeah, but then they canceled it.
Yeah, they didn't do it because they didn't think there would be an audience for Teen Titans. Because by 2008,
what the fuck? What are you talking about?
Well,
by 2008, the viewership dropped dramatically for that last season of Teen Titans. That's why they axed the show.
Hmm.
And then at the same time, they're taking a show that was made for kids, like Cartoon Network, a big child audience. They couldn't necessarily go to this more adult story using the same characters and have the same child viewership follow it. And at the same time, a lot of more adult viewers didn't like the show as much because it was more, again, cartoony, made for kids. So they wouldn't really follow to a Teen Titans movie. So they kind of really didn't have, they had zero middle ground. Like, they didn't have enough of a kid audience to follow and enough of an adult audience to go into it.
Yeah, but since they've established this universe, they can slowly, like, just add crap, whatever fits the story.
Yeah, they've made it more appealing to, like, adults and young teens and that sort of thing. To where they have a big audience that can enjoy
go.
It.
Fuck yeah. Go.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, I really enjoyed the way that the 2000s Teen Titans cartoon actually did the Judas Contract, because they made Tara actually redeemable by the end of the story, whereas, you know, in actual DC continuity, Tara's just a bitch. She's like the worst, literally the worst. When she came back in Blackest Night, it was like, fuck, I hate this character, god damn it.
Sorry. Yeah, the Teen Titans cartoon, like, when I heard like Tara and then I saw what the comic Tara looked like, I was like, who the fuck are you? I don't like you. I want my old Tara. The one who was nice and loved Beast Boy and sacrificed herself for her team.
Yeah, and plus, if she's with Beast Boy, then I can have my Raven and Robin ship. Come on.
It all works out for us.
Apparently Teen Titans Go is going into the Beast Boy Raven ship now. Yeah. Throwing away the Terra ship.
I mean, give me my Damian Raven ship now. Like, that is the new ship that I will go down in.
Yes. Too angst. So much angst.
So much angst. It'll be so much fun.
So we need Nightwing Barbara. We need Damian Raven.
I don't care. Nightwing and Barbara is canon. Whatever. It is legitimately
they keep
canon.
Teasing every single issue of Batgirl or Nightwing is just teasing that fucking relationship over and over again.
It is legitimately canon, but
it's
during Convergence.
Relationships.
It's the one relationship that just never ends well.
During Convergence, Gail Simone got them married.
Yes.
And that was like, that's the final say of the old Prime Universe where I started reading comics. So that.
And in
that
the
is
Christmas
confirmed.
Special, they did have their Christmas date.
They did.
Yes, they did.
What has Starfire gotten? Two kisses from Nightwing since the new 52 relaunched?
Step off, girl.
Banging Jason? No one wants Jason. Whatever. Except for Zach, as I look around at all of his Red Hood memorabilia.
As you have to stare at a picture of Red Hood right in front of you.
Just pointing at it. But
look at him stare at you through his broken mask. Look at him.
I'm really interested. I like I said, I just want this movie to be good. It's the DC hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on real quick. Z2 got another like.
What? Did we lose one at the same time?
I don't know. But
listen, viewers, brand new information.
Shout out to Frankie Hillard, our newest like.
Woo! We're so close to 100.
Frankie, this episode's dedicated to you. Forget Tim now.
For everyone else who liked us before, previous episodes are dedicated to you. Secret messages are
I mean,
in
we've
there.
Talked about Tim. We've talked about Sarah. We've talked about Jim.
John. Talked about John.
John and Matt. Frankie, this one's for you.
But it, guys. So, yes.
Yeah, I was telling Tim that we'll eventually get like an unapologetic Marvel person and we'll just ignore them. We'll actually just mute their mic.
What do you mean? We have one right here, right now. Can't you hear them talking? That's a good point.
I'm sorry. Bad joke. You're not full time, but that's all right. One day.
Bad joke, BJ.
Bad joke, BJ.
Oh. And then another movie, live action this time, is that Black Adam movie is going to be released ahead of Shazam,
didn't
possibly?
Think that was going to be a thing.
So is it going to be his origin story?
I don't know. Like, having a Black Adam movie before a Shazam movie was weird. But if they do it, like, Black Adam dies at the end of his movie and then...
gets resurrected. Insert
kid with... and then he says Shazam, and then it's The Rock in the Shazam outfit. Like I said, Billy Batson's like an 8-year-old kid in like most continuity. I think in the New 52, he's like 16. Yeah. In the New 52, he's kind of weird, 16-year-old. But like, I just want to hear The Rock talk like a kid. It's like, golly gee, it's Superman. And I'm like, yes, it's The Rock.
The Rock is the most is the best man child now.
It's one of those things too. Is like The Rock can fit into every single role he's given, whether it be a serious thing or a funny thing. Now, like, he's a very diverse actor.
And for all you kids who don't know who The Rock is, that's Dwayne Johnson.
I think everybody knows him.
I think his Twitter handle is The Rock.
Well, but there's actually a chunk of like the younger generation who only know him as Dwayne Johnson. They do not know him as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, I think The Rock is actually trademarked by
WWE. I'm sure it is. Yeah, that was his wrestling persona that he just kind of took as a moniker.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Kind
of like how The Undertaker, who's in, I guess, an animated movie now for some reason.
Like the Scooby-Doo ones, I think?
Nope. Surf's Up. That weird surfing penguin movie with Shia LaBeouf.
I like that movie.
Yeah, they're making a sequel out of it.
No, they don't need to do that.
With a new like crew coming to join the Penguins and the John Heater chicken, who's still played by John Heater, but they're all voiced by wrestlers and Vince McMahon.
Okay, I'm actually interested now.
Because like there's a John Cena Penguin, there's an Undertaker Penguin, there is one of the Divas, and then Vince McMahon.
Well, WWE just got like a comic release this month too through like Boom.
And it's weird. Like, it's like everybody finally realized that it's all like just set up and that like they write their own storylines, but everybody's just like, no, this is actually pretty cool.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wrestling is scripted?
Well, in what? It's Always Sunny.
So everything I know is a lie.
During season 5 of Sunny, they were talking about how scripted it was.
Where they have Frank's to like, wrestle Rickety Cricket as the.
Yeah, as the
Yeah.
As the Taliban. And Frank throws a trash can at him and like gashes his neck open.
Yep.
Need to watch this show.
Another scar for the continuity that is Rickety Cricket.
Especially after that gif you send us. Don't try to stop me.
I think that was the episode before that too.
Frank tries to off himself.
This is swinging back and forth.
Yeah, that's when he loses his fortune, and then the gang has to figure out how to make money, and Frank starts a knife and vacuum business. Yep. That's the crab people episode. Yep. We're crab people now.
We're crab people. We catch crabs. We live down here by the docks.
What do you mean we're crab people? We're crab people now, Deandra.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, man. It's Always Sunny. It's a literary masterpiece. All right. So, Zach, you wanted to talk about your Telltale game?
Yes. I finally got through it.
To this like 3 times.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually talking to Jim about it since he also finished the game. And I hate about TV.
We've all walked away from the table except for Zach.
I haven't played it yet, so I have no
this is my life.
Point to add.
I'm coming back, I promise.
So my quickie review with very minimal spoilers, if any, is I did not like it that much. My favorite aspect of it was the Bruce and Selena relationship that they went off of. With I love Laura Bailey's Catwoman and Selena, like, just put her in an animated movie and she would be amazing. Like, it, but
Zach, I'm so sorry that we got up from the table as soon as you started talking.
I feel like it's just your mission to just troll me into oblivion now.
I desperately needed some water, and then Steve got up too. I thought he was gonna listen. So sorry. Hey, on the bright side, I found my mug.
Find your mug?
Yeah, the one you can like write on with chalk on it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just sitting in your cupboard.
Oh, has it been there this whole time?
And again, Steven hasn't played the game, so he has zero insight on it.
Well, he said minimal spoilers.
Yeah.
Right, but
I'm trying not to but
zero insight about the story.
One, the first thing that I just really I already knew I was like, okay, I don't like this, is what they did with Batman's lore and specifically the Wayne, since it's supposed to be like a Bruce Wayne focused story rather than Batman. It kind of goes more towards Batman at the end because Bruce Wayne just gets screwed repeatedly throughout the whole series. I'm just
sounds
like,
hot.
Yeah, he actually does get screwed
literally and figuratively.
Yes, literally and figuratively.
That part I know.
But it's just, I don't know what it was. Like, parts of the story just seemed like it was forced. Like, at the beginning of one episode, it just seemed like it was just literally there just to have Joker in it. And it's like, okay, the second season of it, they kind of hinted that it's going to be a Joker focused. But which so it's Joker? Like,
do we get, like,
do we play as the Joker?
I don't know.
Jack Nicholson Joker? Do we get Heath Ledger Joker?
It's
Scott Snyder's Joker, Grant Morrison's
Joker. It kind of seems like a mix of Scott Snyder's and Jack Nicholson a bit. Because he seems like he's like, he knows what he's doing, but he's still that sociopathic, just psycho
does
the whole time.
Does he have tattoos?
No. But he has green hair and white face, and he won't tell anyone his name, so.
Does he go by Mr. J?
No, he doesn't go by any name. They literally just refer to him as John Doe because he won't tell anyone his name.
Ah, so he is Mr. J.
Sure.
Mr. John Doe.
Sure.
Oh, Mr. J.
But I know it's supposed to be like its own universe that they wanted to set up, but it's just like so many weird things they did with the lore. Like the main villain, like I was just like, oh, okay. Why that person?
Well, and I've seen pictures of Harvey Dent. It's like, who the fuck is that gorilla? That's not Harvey Dent.
Yeah, Travis Willingham is Harvey Dent. It was pretty good, but they tried to make him Two-Face, and that was like their main end goal. And like at one point, like as he's like, it's slowly becoming Two-Face more and more. Like he just pulls out a coin at random. So it's like, you haven't had that thing the whole fucking time. Why did you just suddenly pull that out?
I remember because I showed up early before we were recording while you were playing, and like. I was making a joke because it was the choice either save Harvey or save Selena. I'm mm-hmm. like, if you don't save Harvey in like each episode, does it like slowly make him become Two-Face?
I don't think that matters.
Like this person had like a giant light fixture. And I'm like, oh, is this how his face is going to get burned?
Yeah. Well, his face never becomes burned. He just acts like Two-Face the whole time after that.
But what's the mask, Two-Face or Harvey? Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
Yeah, it's just, it's something, it felt like, it did the same thing that I didn't really like about Walking Dead, is that it felt like almost every decision you make just didn't, it just always backfired on you. No matter what you did, just something ended up screwing you later.
Like, let's go save Duck.
Why did I even decide to cut off that arm?
Yeah.
Why?
Or in that case, the scene where it's like, okay, I gotta save Harvey or Selena, I don't think that fucking mattered, like at all.
Just one will be a little more pissed at you.
You're like, minimally.
That's what I liked about, you know, I think the only Telltale game I've played in full is Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, Wolf Among Us is great, and Tales from the Borderlands is great.
And King's Quest, even though it's not a Telltale game. King's Quest is amazing.
Yeah, and then I was going to say Life is Strange. That one, your decision matters. Every single time, you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, you know, Victoria hating your guts by the end of episode 5, or saving Kate or saving another girl from getting hit all the time. You know, it's like, Max, you're just bad luck, and then she gets like freaking pulled to death. Or it's like, oh, Max, thank God you're always here to save me. I'm like, I'm glad I saved you from that football hitting your head in the first episode.
And I'm glad I saved you from getting pushed into the pool as mm-hmm. a prank.
Yeah.
But now you're not gonna die.
There was
I
also
guess?
Okay, so back to,
and fuck Warren, by the way.
Back to, hey, the
Warren was just said puppy.
Back to another issue I had was they tried to go into why the villain was the villain in
the
last
child
episode.
Of Arkham.
Yeah. And it just, they would go into this really fucked up scene. I'm just like, why was nothing alluded to this until now? Like, it makes sense to what another scene that happens. It always makes it a little more coherent of why that happened, but it's just, they don't explain anything past it. It's like, oh, nope, we gotta go save this other person right now, so we can't deal with that, even though it's vital to that character.
See, that's, like, I think Batman games, they know what they are, and like you said, this is more of a Bruce Wayne story. Like, the Arkham games...
I just don't think it works.
The Arkham games are a departure from the Batman stories. Like,
yeah,
the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the first two, Paul Dini helped write the first two. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the third game, which he had no attachment over, and that's like the one game I still haven't played because
it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's an interesting take on an old Batman story, I'd like to think.
But why would Tim and Barbara get married?
Yeah, that part, yeah, I'm just like, what? It's like,
what's going on here? Why?
That's actually one of the stopping points for me. It's like, I know the ending, and I don't want Tim and Barbara to get married.
You just stop right before that.
Shut the Xbox off quick!
It's like, before I go stop the Joker, I have to go to this wedding. Nope, quit.
Before I stop the Joker, I gotta kill Tim.
Yeah.
And then Dick will be there to comfort her.
He pulls out a photo with like two of their pictures taped together. Just says Dick and Barbara forever. Caresses it.
He's the ultimate shipper. He really is.
And that ass.
And I mean, Barbara even had a whole thing with Dick and Injustice before he died. And that's the reason she became Batgirl. Because she wanted to avenge Dick. Because Superman is a giant, massive cock.
But now, in the comics, where does Scorpion come in?
I don't know.
He gets over there.
I didn't get that far. That's probably in year five. Actually, that would be in, like, year four, I think, is the magical year, where they have, like, Constantine and Trigun and Detective Chimp come in.
There is a, like, rumors. There's a whole website of, like, rumors. And one of, like, the more likely rumors is
Dr. Fate.
Constantine might be.
I love how you just completely took over again. Yeah. But, sorry. So to close out, Batman.
We kept it in the Batman video game realm.
Sorry, Zach.
Yeah, it's an all right Telltale game, but I just really did not enjoy the story like at all.
And I think that's one of my stopping points, too. Because you're a pretty hardcore fan. You like these games. But like sitting there with you, it's like, oh, the game crashed again. I'm like, oh, God. Because Telltale games are mostly like me and Kayla games.
So many fucking drop frames in this that game.
I think I'm just going to play it for achievements.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I, like, story. Once I got, like, after, once episode 3 ended, I was just like, what the fuck, man? I was just like, it's just an achievement fest now. Yeah. It's just like, just get through this.
Like, that's all I'm going to use for is an easy 1,000 gamer score.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, some people seem to like it. I just, no. I don't like what they did with the lore. I don't know. I don't like that was the main antagonist of the whole plot line. It's like, that is not what Batman is.
Okay.
So yeah, it's totally like near the end, you. It's like you will get to choose between being Bruce Wayne or Batman. I was just like, Batman every time. Bruce Wayne just gets fucked every time. Batman can at least do something.
Yeah, and one of the funny thing is, too, it's like we were talking about that supporting character being a villain. And then someone's like, what? You want like another Arkham Knight scenario where it's just Jason Todd again? I'm like, I think I would have preferred
that. I would have probably preferred that.
Because they made it work in the Arkham storyline.
I mean, if it weren't not for the press statement saying the Arkham Knight was not Jason.
Yeah, that's what kind of bugged me was when Arkham Knight was coming out there like, hey, the Arkham Knight, it's going to be a brand new character, never before seen.
It's Alfred, by the way, guys. Alfred was the villain all along. God.
But yeah.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's kind of, yeah, it sucks. I mean, but that's kind of something I'm trying to do this year is being a little more critical of things, not just saying they're okay or it's not. Like I said, if you like it, great on you. Like, you got way more out of it than I did, but for me, it was just like, there were
fuck you.
Way too many plot holes. I did not like what they did with the lore.
If you liked it, then fuck you.
The only enjoyable part was Selina and Bruce, and that was like maybe 15% of the game.
Yeah,
sorry. It's like non-existent after a point.
Yeah, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah,
I wonder if they'll like redeem themselves ever so slightly.
Yeah, it's like the Joker story could be good.
Well, not even the Joker story. I honestly don't believe a season 2 will ever come out other than Walking Dead.
Yeah,
but you know, no. If they'll redeem
Tales
themselves,
from the Borderlands will get a season 2.
It needs to happen.
If they'll redeem themselves with like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, maybe.
That's such a big problem taking established characters and wanting to write your own story. Like, Handsome Jack was the only character in Tales, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You had Athena, you had...
They took liberties, but it worked. It worked for the story because those characters hadn't seen a ton of story between the points that they were at.
And same thing with Wolf Among Us, where, like, you can play your own Bigby Wolf. However you want.
Or Kayla, or take the Kayla route of actual comic Bigby.
Well, Kayla's like, I'm taking the cannon route. He's an asshole. I'm like, no,
you don't have to punch everyone.
You punch the frog again, and you sent freaking pig friend to the farm.
Pig friend.
Okay, we only play the game when she comes to visit. So I like space.
How many
more
episodes
like,
do you have?
We have one episode left. We've played all four episodes in the span of four different months, which is not the way you play a Telltale game, but that's a game Kayla and I only play together because there's not that many co-op games out there.
I think you and Kayla would actually enjoy King's Quest. It'll take you forever to finish, but it is a very nice, whimsical
Telltale
game.
See, we finished. Finished what? King's Quest. Oh, season three already came out, but we finished season one, Steve. It's been 9 months. I just need to take the Xbox when we visit.
Yep.
That's what I'll do.
But yeah, that's my thoughts on that game.
Yeah. Critical,
Yeah.
Super effective.
If you're a diehard Batman fan, I don't think you're going to enjoy it that much.
Batman the Telltale Series, that gives it an out of 10.
Is that like the poop emoji?
Yeah.
Oh, they gave me a 4, like a negative 4.
Yeah, they gave me a negative 3, like a negative 4.
I don't know
4.
How that works, but...
For real. The poop emoji out of 10.
So let's call it mixed reviews.
The Onion says, it is a great album. So we'll go mixed reviews.
I'm so glad you finally watched Popstar. Yeah.
We understand all the dumb jokes.
It was me.
I was the fish.
Me. Tyrus.
I like how you started saying that too. When we were playing games. It I'm like, me. All right, who just did that?
It was me.
I got you killed.
I set up the team kill.
Why do people listen to us?
Shout out to you, Frankie.
We think we're funny.
Frankie, why'd you like us? Please tell us in the comments below.
Well, Tim Husky just sent me a message. We're going to be talking about Tim a lot, I guess. And he sent me Thundercats, the Jamaican edition. So I'm interested in watching this after the episode.
Oh, boy. Moving on.
We're moving still.
Yeah, I think we're moving. We're rolling.
All right.
Like a very slow moving.
Are we doing Rex now? Yeah. Look at us.
Let's do that.
It's not been an hour and a half.
No. Actually, I'm kind of short on time, so.
Okay.
Got like 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Recommendation this week is The Ray by Steve Orlando and Stephen Byron. The Ray is part of the JLA Rebirth, and he's an awesome B-list hero who is originally part of Grant Morrison's Justice League. But holy so the entire issue is the Ray. His name is Ray. He thought he was allergic to sunlight, so any amount of light would kill him. And his mom kept him locked up in this house forever. And his friend Caden took a photo of him, and Ray sent him to the hospital because he like supernova-ish into Caden. So about the age of 16, Ray runs away from home and figures out that he is kind of allergic to light, but he's not entirely human. Like, so he goes supernova again, blinds these people temporarily, and just learns that he's invisible. So he spends his entire time as
invisible
this invisible.
Okay.
Spends his entire time because he can bend rays of light.
Hey.
Learning about the world, learning about people. Like, his only human interaction with was his friend Kate and his mom in this movie that he used to watch as a kid. Whereas, like, no man with hates can ever change the world was, like, the running line. And he eventually does become a superhero once he figures out his friend Caden was alive. And this guy tried to attack Caden for the sake of patriotism in the United States and not letting these gays move into the city. And that's probably not it, but, like, all the characters are really gay because... The Ray's gay and Kevin's gay.
Gay.
But it was really cool. Like I said, I love seeing my B-list heroes come back, and Steve Orlando has been like just killing it with all these different characters, and I'm so excited for Justice League of America to come out. Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry, you said press for time, so I tried to go really quick.
I don't really have a recommendation because I was too busy this week to read anything, but I've been watching Critical Role. YouTube.
Why do you do this?
So if you like nerdy ass voice actors playing D&D, go watch Critical Role
featuring Travis Willingham
and William O'Brien
and Matt Mercer.
It's high noon.
And then there's another side of people who voice random things, which I didn't actually know who they were until I actually looked them up. But yeah, I didn't read jack shit this week, so
okay.
Press for time, go.
Mine is gonna be Batman again, The Rooftops Part 2 issue.
She stole the night. Just like we steal the conversation. Yeah, team this side of the table.
But it was a beautiful conclusion to that little two-issue arc and story with Batman and Catwoman. And you finally get to learn why Catwoman was accused of 237 murders. You learn it wasn't her. It was her close friend of who she grew up with, the orphanage, who just...
Holly. A lot of people are pissed on a rampage. A lot of people are pissed. Because Brubaker in Gotham City Central wrote like this amazing Holly story. And a lot of people love it. But a lot of people are pissed that Holly was the murderer.
I mean, Tom King explains it, though. Like, she couldn't control herself after a while. And then, since Selina cared about her so much that she took the fall.
I really do enjoy the fact that Bruce and Selina are, like, recounting the first time they've met to each other.
Yeah, and it's the two different interactions.
It's Batman Year One.
Yeah, it's like Miller a one. Super old school story that he goes with, which is like, oh, that's really cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, it's like the 60s one and then Frank Miller.
Yeah.
The first time she stole it, Alfred. She stole the knights.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful line. Just at the end, it's like, we all know Catwoman's just going to run off because that's what she does.
I want a Catwoman solo series now.
Yeah, just starting from that point now.
Cats of Prey. Her Cats finding Prey. Holly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That'd be a great story. Since she ran off and almost killed Bruce. But yeah, that scene where she catches him before he falls and then she's just caressing him as he's bleeding out. I'm just like, such a beautiful...
Alfred, what do I do?
So beautiful, but so tragic. I'm
feeling emotions. Help me, Alfred.
Yeah, just... And then, of course, what we said at the very end is she stole it, Alfred. What did she steal, Master Bruce? The knight.
I just love the fact that he goes to Jim. It's like, I fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, even Jesus is like, where's Catwoman? Or, where's Holly? What? Who's Holly? Where is she? And then he's like, weren't you supposed to deliver Catwoman?
She stole it.
She's not important. Not important right now.
That's not relevant in a court of law, Bruce.
But man, I think I love the fact that Tom King can write these really small, sweet mini stories too.
Yeah, but just another great issue from Tom King.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get I Am Bane next
with Tom Finch coming back.
David Finch, you mean?
David Finch, not Tom Finch.
Bane is coming back.
He doesn't have a mask, goddammit.
He might bust out the luchador mask.
He better have a luchador mask.
But he will give it back to you, the people. Oh, God. I will give you back the knights.
Sorry.
Hold me, Batman.
Give me Psycho Pirate back. So let me look at the list of discussion questions. You gotta figure out which one's the shortest.
Oh shit, the X-Men live downstairs from you.
What?
Look at the door.
So we gotta take a picture of that before the podcast ends.
That's pretty top.
Don't add people to this link. Okay, so. Shit. Sorry.
You want me to do it?
I'm clicking on like seven different Google links.
I have it open.
All right, what was the one that I put this week?
We remember our childhood. What 90s anime cartoon or show was something that you want to bring back / reboot, and that seems to be all the rage as of late?
Okay, let's say 2000s too, since we were wee lads.
Okay. So
early 90s or late 90s, early 2000s shows.
Yu Yu Hakusho.
Okay, what would you do with it?
Not a lot to change it. Just updated graphics or updated animation. Better quality on the voice acting, because it was a great show. It suffered from its time.
The 90s anime, my God, we got to be all dramatic all the time, the way we speak.
The only thing that needs to stay the same, I don't care if they change a bunch of the voice actors, we need Chris Sabat as Kuwabara.
You're a meshy. I got a sword.
Is Yu Yu Hakusho the one where his mother gets murdered in front of him? Or is that
Ronin? That's Batman.
Gotcha. No, there's an anime where like the main character brutally watches his mother get murdered in front of him.
Well, Rurouni Kenshin did that twice.
Naruto?
There's Naruto, Rurouni Kenshin, there's Gundam.
I think it's Rurouni Kenshin.
Well, Rurouni Kenshin says normal parents die, but he gets adopted by this group of traveling women, and then they all die.
I don't know what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah.
This is like a really well-known series, but it's Like the first scene is really brutal. No, it's not Batman.
It's always Batman.
It always comes back to Batman.
But other than Yu Yu Hakusho, a lot of stuff that like I would like to see, like either get a new season or a new touch of paint, is already being done. You got Samurai Jack coming soon. Dragon Ball Super is now being dubbed.
So good.
Code Geass is getting a third season.
Still don't think it needs it, but okay. It'll exist. I just hope it keeps the ridiculousness. Yeah.
Other than that, like a lot of the stuff I wouldn't want them to try and make something new. Because like they did try to do the Powerpuff Girls. In my eyes, it was terrible. It was an abomination of the Powerpuff Girls.
Code Lyoko also came back, and they're actually doing live action.
Yeah, mixed that's with weird.
The CGI.
Huh.
So, like, the latest season, like, they're real
I mean,
people.
They already had the two different styles.
I know. And it was interesting, but I'm like, I don't know. It's not my Code Lyoko.
No. That's the thing, is I don't know if a lot of shows could be remade and needed to have the same splendor that I did watching them. Again, the only one that I can think of would be Yu Yu Hakusho, just to have a touch-up.
That's right.
Have it not suffer from the time like it did when it came out.
Yeah.
Or even Rurouni Kenshin.
Again, Rurouni Kenshin's coming
back.
Well,
it got the three live-action movies, which I heard are fucking awesome.
Yeah, give it a nice touch-up. Re-record the voices like they did with Dragon Ball Z Kai, where they cut out a lot of stuff.
But the filler with Gohan fighting the dinosaur for dinner and Piccolo being the best father figure ever.
Or the Frieza fight that took a quarter of the time that it actually did in the original show.
Do they keep the driving episode?
I think they
where
do.
Where Goku and Piccolo learn how to drive. And they have a race.
Oh my god.
That was one of my favorite The filler arc for the Cell games is the best filler.
A lot of the movies were filler arc for the Cell games.
Yeah. I'm watching the Abridged series and I realize how much of that, like, the movies take place in the middle of it.
Yeah. So, did you blow up South Galaxy?
There's a South Galaxy? Nope, forget I said anything. Too late. I enjoy our talks.
So, for me, I have, like, something that's not necessarily obscure, but it's like, why would you want this back? But it's actually a show called Reboot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Canadian animated weird-ass CGI show.
CGI.
Yeah. And
whose second season took a fucking turn.
Yeah, it just went dark. But like the villains are Hexadecimal and Megabyte. You have Dots. You have Enzo. And then you have Bob, the Matrix. Like the antivirus software of the computer. But like,
would have to play games against the villains.
Exactly.
To reboot
so
the
like,
system.
For all of you youngins who may not know, I don't think anyone younger than us listens to us. But like, this giant cube comes down, and then the players of the game, the citizens of the town, have to win the game. And like, the games are like just 90s references. Like, they do an Austin Powers game, they do like a Starship game, and like, you know, you have to win the game in order for this game to leave.
So you can reboot the system.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I really enjoyed that show. And like the second season went really dark because like Enzo disappears after the end of the first season or second season, whatever it was. And then becomes, what was his name? I think it might've just been Matrix or something like along those lines.
And like the little kid who like had the baseball cap and
yeah.
was like the plucky little sidekick becomes like this badass muscular hero.
He becomes like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of that universe with Arala.
So it's Shazam.
Yeah, like the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Girl who showed up and became part of the crew becomes his sidekick and love interest.
She was originally part of the game, but they actually rescued her out of
it. So it's like Code Lyoko.
A little bit.
Yeah.
With what's her name?
Alita.
But Alita was an actual person first, and then she became part of the system.
Yeah, she got digitized. And
that
then,
was in the fourth season of Code Lyoko.
Okay. I always thought she was a program.
Whoever made
that's
Lyoko.
What everyone thought. Franz Hopper made Alita because Franz Hopper is her father.
He put her in the system to save her and save Lyoko.
Yep. Good times. But anyways, like, reboot. the last news that I ever heard about the series was in early 2015, they said that they're going to reboot it. Literally.
Reboot.
It was going to be called Reboot Guardian Code. Oh, that's what Bob was. He was a guardian. But they were going to reboot the show.
Does he fight for the users?
Probably. And they showed like animation things, like just stock, you know, the T-Arm character models. And they showed Bob with his dreadlocks and everything in his silver costume. And everyone got really hyped, and no word since. And the reboot's website led down to a countdown timer. And then after 6 months, became a fan website.
Huh.
So you know people are raging on those forums every day.
Yep.
Steve's looking it up.
I'm going to see if there's any news about it.
I was actually looking yesterday because I was really interested in this. And literally that's why I put the word reboot for this conversation. Gotcha. So I would remember what the fuck I wanted to talk about. All right, Zach, what's your resurrection?
Reboot ran for
8 years. Kind of with Steve. There's a lot of stuff that's happening that I think's cool that they're redoing. Like the Evangelion movies, even though the fucking fourth movie still isn't out yet. 4.44? 4.44. I think it's actually like 3.33 plus one.
Oh, wait. There's one user online for the reboot subreddit.
Oh, shit. So that's cool because I really like what the movies have done, and it just looks a lot better since they actually have a budget this time. Even though Evangelion's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's still this cool deconstruction of mech anime.
She just needs to get the goddamn robot.
Just getting that goddamn robot. He's a lot less bitchy in the movies, which is nice. He actually has character development. Trying to think of what else. I think a new X-Men animated series could be cool.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, because they had...
Because we haven't
Wolverine
had one of those
since Wolverine the 2000s X-Men, one. And then that got canceled. And then that was really the last... big X-Men.
Yeah, because X-Men 2000 was freaking awesome.
X-Men Evolution.
Yeah, Evolution. Yeah.
That was love that like, series. Where everyone was a teenager going to school.
It was like they focused on the mutant school.
So I realized, I was actually watching this recently because it was on Netflix, but the X-Men 2000 series literally takes scenes from other 90s and 2000 shows. Like there's the dance scene in the intro with Rogue and Kitty dancing is actually a scene in Buffy.
Really?
Buffy and Willow are dancing.
There's a scene where they're like walking down the hall, like slow motion, like the girls of the Xavier house. And I think it's ripped from, I want to say Clueless.
So Steve like, and I were both looking at the same Reddit thread today.
Yeah, well, I saw a GIF of it. I was like, what the fuck? But it's like scene for scene from that movie. Like they ripped it. I was like, what the hell? They were allowed to do that?
Yeah. Nobody, because the internet didn't exist yet. They couldn't catch it that quick.
I think that's where my crush on Kitty Pryde came from.
I think that's where everybody's crush from Kitty Pryde came from.
My interest in goth girls in high school. Damn it, Rogue.
Damn it. I'm trying to think of other things they're doing. They're doing a new Justice League show.
Young Justice.
Young Justice is coming back.
They're doing another
Teen
Spider-Man.
Titan. I think like I would really love the continuation of the old Teen Titans. Like just pick up where they left off. Because I feel like there's enough hype around how many people want that series to come back.
Like at the very least, I wanted
like
a last
10
episode.
Times ago.
Like yeah, the last episode they gave us was such a kick in the
season
nards.
Six was supposed to be the Terra story again, and then the Titans
just disappears in the last episode.
Yeah, and then the Teen Titans were going to have like team up episodes where they were just going to bring the Titans from all around the globe to be in an episode always.
Yeah,
or them responding to calls, so we could have saw Arjun again, the other goth girl.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool to see. I'm trying to think of any of that. I don't want them to touch Cowboy Bebop ever, because it's perfect the way it is.
We do get an X-Men TV show, technically, because of Legion and New Mutants.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I was more referring to, like, specifically X-Men series, like, focused around Xavier School and...
the school anime trope.
Yeah, school anime trope.
Xavier Senpai.
Fun fact, they had a...
They had
an X-Men anime.
They did, and they also had the Blade anime. And
they also had a Supernatural anime.
And they also had a Wolverine-specific anime. They had X-Men and Wolverine.
So much anime. I'm trying to think of
the Supernatural
anime
is weird. I watched part of the first episode, and I'm like, I don't know how
it's
I
like
feel about
weird.
This. Because I think they actually got Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki to voice the characters.
I think they might have, too. But yeah. I mean, they're doing Digimon again already. Pokemon still never went away. Yu-Gi-Oh's
Digimon
coming back.
Digimon never went away, Zach. You just stopped watching.
It's true. I stopped watching after Tamers.
Which, hold on. Kicking the fucking nuts while I was on the internet. They did a teens react to 2000s anime. And they play the intro from Digimon. And these little shits. Like, oh my god, this is such a ripoff of Pokemon. One of them even called it the Walmart version of Pokemon. These kids deserve to be educated the proper way.
Grendel punched?
I'm going.
Why is that your education?
I'm going to Clockwork Orange them. I just, the whole first season of Digimon.
I just imagine Steven's just like, you need to get a little smack around. Just smack
them
around.
No, you strap them to a chair and force them to watch it, Zach.
Clockwork
Why
Orange
would you punch
style.
Them in the grundle?
These
oh
are poor
my goodness.
Teenagers.
It's Steven's
what is
word.
Wrong with you?
Who takes a teenager and be like, oh, you don't like Digimon? Grundle punch. No, you educate these poor
we
children.
We accept people for their differences, Zach. Come on.
I'm just going off Steve logic because he always wants to fight everyone.
Only adults who fuck up things. Like the guy who decided to put Laurel at the mid-season finale of Arrow. He deserves a throat punch. A poor teenager who doesn't know the majesty of Digimon needs to be educated.
I mean,
if they're an adult and they say that, then they deserve a grundle punch.
Digimon is blowing
Can
up again
recant
in Japan,
anything
though?
I've said in the last 5 minutes?
Like, Try is really good, and then Digimon Universe, the Atmon, whatever it is gaining a lot of traction, so they're like producing merchandise again. Like, they have these really awesome plushie figures of the Digimon cosplaying as their Digi-Destin. Like, there's an Agumon with the goggles and the shirt, and then there's a Gatomon dressed up as Kari, and then there's a freaking Palmon dressed up as Mimi from the first season.
And
I'm just sitting there, I'm like, god damn it,
Digimon Tsum Tsums. I want a little Gabumon Tsum Tsum.
Okay, what is Tsum Tsum?
It's
a burrito. Like, yeah, they're plushy burritos.
It's the style of the plush.
Them. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a Japanese thing, and then Disney/Marvel is like, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Marvel that.
Yeah, like there's a Captain Marvel one. That's
yeah,
like,
I know. I've seen it. It's pretty adorable. I kind of want it.
We're going to come back, and Zach has 10. There's no Kitty Pride one.
Yet.
The only Kitty Pride thing is my Funko. Have you figured out what I did to your shelf?
Yes.
What did I do?
I found Pura.
Upside you found down. Pura? Oh, I didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
Did you do that?
No.
Who Was did that Jen?
It might have
Because we were telling Jen, like, the thing that we do at the end of every episode is that you go to the bathroom, I start fucking with your shelf. So.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until last night that Pura was upside down.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Maybe
yeah,
it was neither. Jim then. Jim, if you're listening.
So you haven't found the true fuck up then.
I still think you're just messing with me. There's actually nothing wrong.
Well, no, I legitimately almost tripped over the coffee table trying to get to the shelf.
Yeah, and I had to fix it because one of them fell, and he's like, fuck, and I was like, eh.
Yeah, Steve fixed it.
And then ran back.
Steve was the one that was going to do it first, but then I did it.
Did you switch the Batman around?
No.
No?
You'll figure it out.
Yep.
No. As always, this has been a brand new episode of the Z2.
With the slice of paranoia.
You can't stop Zach's face. As always, this has been an episode of the Z2 Podcast. Thank you guys for listening to us. As always, we are a weekly show. You can find us on
it.
iTunes. You can find
you
us on
Spider-Man.
Google Play. And there's more. And
Fuck.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel with Z2 Podcast. If you ever want to hit us up, whether it be do a collaboration, you know, you get to talk to us or offer us a discussion point, you can hit us up through all those avenues or even use our Gmail, z2podcasts@gmail.com. That is z2podcasts as in plural. Really got to stress that S there. Yeah, I think that's everything. Other than like the new amount of paranoia and then yelling at the end of the 5 minutes episode.
Shout out to Frankie.
Yeah, shout out to Frankie and shout out to the Jamaican Thundercats. I'm really excited to watch
Thundercats.
That.
Thundercats.
Yo, man.
Snarf. Snarf, man. Just snarf. Just
snarf.
Thundercats came back and that didn't work well.
I wish it did. It was actually a decent series.
Well, no, yeah. And I want He-Man
again, to come
back.
Again, it didn't sell toys. It's the classic Cartoon Network. Hey, we made a series. It's not selling toys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Towerfall was an amazing series, too. That was Paul Dini, I think. Or Bruce Timm, one of the two.
But that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah. Anyways, Zach, you have anything else you want to say?
I don't think it was actually Spider-Man that got moved.
Okay.
The paranoia is real.
I don't know.
So once we live together, you can fuck with my shit as much as you want.
It's just going to be like a minute change. Like I move one in Batman of similar color around so you can't tell.
My rainbow Batman are out of order.
Yes. It's not Roy G. Biv. Shit.
Oh yeah, my freaking 26 Batman Funko.
Boy G. Roy.
Boy G. Roy.
That's
a couple. Are you going to buy an extra yellow to throw in there?
Yes. Just buy
an extra. There's an extra yellow. This is all wrong.
The gold one just right there.
God. Thank you guys always for listening. Thank you, internet. Love you.
Boy.
I'm sorry. Wrong song. We'll be right back.